Beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.
What's good? I'm back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Commerce's Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, I'm going to react to a video about Travis Scott's ex-manager saying that he basically used bots on SoundCloud. But before we get into that, I want to give you a word from Dizzle Brand Premium Luxury Liqueur.
Got me addicted, ain't no coke. Let's just have a toast. Anybody want some smoke? Cause it's up, I be dizzled up. Catch me sipping with my double cup. Can't just have one, you gotta double up. You pour it, gotta watch it bubble up. I ain't gonna lie, I cannot get enough. What Cali said, I need another one. Gonna have you coming back for more. But go get it while it's hot. Gonna be sold out in your store. That dizzle.
That's right, that Dizzle. You see the logo up there in the right-hand corner, and you can Dizzle too. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave, tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Just throw your Dizzle on ice, and it's nice. If you want to order your very own bottle or bottles of Dizzle premium luxury liqueur, go to DizzleBrand.com, click on our locations, click on one of the top three website links. I recommend Milio's Beverage. Must be 21 and over. Shipping and handling is included. Below that is locations in California, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. And also there's a link on the homepage as well that says order online. And that will take you to Emilio's Beverage. Don't forget, we got the Dizzle Brand merch. Get Dizzle Brand merch at DizzleBrand.com and Etsy.com, ETSY.com. Search for Dizzle Brand. Go to Etsy.com/shop/Dizzle Brand. All right, let's get into it.
Man, some quick hits, but I definitely got to play this because we've been wanting to play this for a couple weeks. Travis Scott with the bots. If y'all want to know how
his Travis old manager,
man, he used bots, man. He's and nothing else. That's like, all that happened.
This clip is crazy. That is about to shatter some hopes and beliefs and reinforce some of y'all conspiracy theories.
Check this out.
I know that's right.
His old manager, Stephen Morris, admitted that he hacked the SoundCloud system when Travis was coming up to...
First, my name's Shane Morris, not Stephen Morris. And I didn't really hack the SoundCloud system as much as deploy a lot of bots. And I'll show you how I did it right now. Turnkey cloud server of your choice. I like Ubuntu 22.04, $6 a month. Firefox doesn't depend upon Wayland, so you'll need to run Xorg. Yes to install. Run sudo apt update and sudo apt upgrade. As a technical note, you can also run Ubuntu inside a container if you want to do that. I recommend Docker, and then you could redeploy them with Docker Swarm, and you could scale this almost infinitely. Anyway, if you know what I mean, you know what I mean. Sudo.
Nobody knows what the hell he means. He wasn't speaking English.
Apt install X init. It'll install. It takes...
All right. I don't want people's brains to fry. Just listen.
I don't know what he's saying, bro.
Especially for y'all who are just potting. Like, you can't see. You can't see it.
Start speaking a different language, bro.
Basically,
I know, right?
He got bots for $6 a month.
Yeah. And it was for SoundCloud, which is, we know what happens when people figure out new tech before the rest of the industry does. It's really the true, like, ultimate cheat code. If you can figure out this big tech driver before everybody else realizes you can do it, you're going to grow like crazy, because by the time everybody figures out they can do it, it's too late. And then two, there are things been implemented to stop it. You know, yep. By the time everybody else realized they could do the bot strategy, because there are hella people in, what was that, 20, probably 16, 17, maybe 18, implementing bot strategies, they were too late. They were now doing it at a time where people were getting caught for it. And then you think about where SoundCloud was at the time, and even just something like that, we weren't aware of it. So our first thought isn't like, oh, he's gaming this, you know what I'm saying? Because we don't even know that could be done.
Right.
Maybe some industry people probably thought that, right? But
it's like when people first started to have like, oh, 50,000, 100,000, a million followers. And
let me chime in right there. I mean, they're right. Like at first, you had MySpace. And cats were boosting numbers, but we didn't really understand it. We just saw MySpace play increaser. We didn't really know what that was about. You know, then Twitter came in and people wanting to buy tons of followers. And when you go to buy followers, they advertise them as real, but then they drop off. You know, they fall off. Nobody knew out the gate. Nobody knew, you know, from the start. And almost every celebrity account that you could think of had probably 50% or more fake followers. They were all buying followers because, you know, you could buy a million followers and automatically look like you got a million followers. It looks good. The perception was good, but it didn't work for everybody. And when the drop-offs happened and the fall-offs happened, that's when cats really started looking crazy.
And you don't even think that any of these could be fake.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, we talk a lot about how much perception plays into your marketing, right? Yeah. So I can only imagine back then it's probably looking like, oh man, Travis Scott's growing like crazy on SoundCloud. You know, labels probably seeing that like, oh, let's have a conversation with him. And he made good music, like, which I feel like we have to emphasize.
And let's stop right there. Labels are pressuring artists to have these numbers on everything. They want to know what your Instagram followers are, your Facebook likes, your SoundCloud numbers, Spotify numbers, TikTok numbers, YouTube numbers. And they don't want to really see you lacking in any of those places. Unless you're just tremendously going, like you better be just super popping on one of them. You just better be popping like tremendously on TikTok or YouTube or Spotify or something, man. Because if not, they want to see numbers across the board. So artists are under pressure to have a certain amount of followers and a certain amount of numbers before labels take any interest and take them serious at all.
Like you can find a finesse. If you have good music and you can find a finesse, chances are you're going to be all right. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because the finesse is only work for the artists with good music. If you finesse without good music, people, we just laugh at you and think you're crazy, right? It's like, damn, why'd you do that? That shouldn't make no sense.
That's another thing. Like, really, the purpose of botting was for like good quality products, high quality products, you know. And that's the thing, if you got high quality, it can't work, you know. You manipulating the numbers and boosting the numbers, because it does help search, you know, when people search for you in certain places like YouTube and Spotify. Like, for example, if a playlist boosts their followers to like 50 to 100,000 followers, and somebody looks up hip hop playlist on Spotify, their playlist is always going to come up at the very top in the search, because, you know, they basically start with the playlist that got the most followers at the very top, and then the ones with the least followers at the very bottom. So these things do have purpose, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do every single thing in life, including botting.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was so early to that, one, is crazy. Two, Shane's background, like just being lucky enough to be connected to someone like that, that can put a system like that together for you, that is luck in itself. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. Think about all the managers, yes, artists come across, bro. How many of them know how to speak whatever language that was? Like, how many, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think a lot of managers, I wouldn't say a lot of managers, but like, you think of managers having like traditional skills.
No, he's right. Most managers don't know all that technical stuff like that. Most managers, their job is to just get you interviews and shows and get you investors and sponsors and press and things of that nature, you know. But knowing all this technical bot stuff, nah, that's not necessarily always their cup of tea.
Well, they probably understand record contracts and, you know, relationships, which probably all things, I'm sure he understood at the time as well. But then it's like, hey, my manager has this one very unique skill set that most of y'all managers probably don't have, and we about to gas this shit.
Yo, that goes back to that conversation about the people on your team. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can find people who have these additional skills outside of music, especially for indie teams.
Yeah.
Like, you want to find value in places that the industry typically doesn't have on lock, because then you'll be able to have a connect. It's like, oh man, this person has all types of sponsorships because they came, or they understand the sponsorship arena because they work corporate and they have all these connections. So they don't need to go through labels to get you the money. They can go straight to deals, even though you're not a big artist, because they ran that game. All right. Or they might be from tech, or they got a whole bunch of tech friends, so they can code and hack to do certain things.
Yeah.
There's all these other seemingly obscure talents that you can apply to you. And if you look at your team, if you can find a couple of folks like that who have different arenas and backgrounds to add towards the standard that's required in music, that's when you start doing stuff different, right? That's when you are early to something like NFTs, because they're just in NFTs.
And let me stop them real quick. And onto the team thing, that's the thing. Everybody's got to have a role and know their role and willing to be stay within their role. Some people, like, they want to, you know, not be satisfied with their role and want to be the star of the show all the time. And typically on a team, there's one star of the show and everybody else is just playing different roles, but everybody can get rich together. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can make money together. That's why, like, if you look at Andrew Schultz, you know, a lot of his guys started out as just engineer guys on the side, and now they're stars of the show. Same thing with like Himbo on like Greeny. Like, he started out as a guy who just, you know, got on the internet, searched information out, you know, things that they didn't know, and now he's actually part of the show. Same thing with the Circle of Kings. Like, I just play engineer, you know, on that, and eventually I'll come into that and be part of the show. But Big Face is the star of the show for Circle of Kings. You know, you got Paul Pinker Podcast, it's just me, so I'm solo. I got to be the star of the show. Live from Vietnam, I mean, everybody's trying to be the star of the show when you got five people on the podcast at once. Or everybody's trying to get their voice in, get their voice heard and whatnot. So everybody got to know their role as a team and be willing to play within their role and stay within the limits of their role and not get to a point where they're unsatisfied and they feel like they got to, you know, do somebody else's role.
Now you're able to do it right. Not like, oh, I just tried to drop something and nothing really happened, or I did a little scam, but no, you did the thing right. That's what Snoop Dogg is doing so well.
Yeah.
He knows how to keep people who understand these other categories outside of music around him, however he's doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we already know for him to discover our boy, you know, and hop on a track with, you know, can we even say that?
I feel like not yet.
Yeah. Like, but to even understand and find that he existed at that level and hop on a track, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's something that's valuable at every single level. And when you, for those who are hearing this, I'll just leave it at that. Like, yes, even somebody at Snoop Dogg, like at that level, right? Typically, to stay at that level, you are keeping your ears to the street in some way,
mm-hmm.
whether that's the street on the internet, and you understand that very well, because you got to think, Snoop Dogg also been doing the YouTube show for so long. Like, his digital game is
crazy.
Stupid yeah. for an artist his size. There's nobody moving like that at that size. Like, he's moving in a true, like, indie, organic, grassroots way.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, and no pun intended, because he's definitely on the grass. Why he's getting to the root of things. Snoop Dogg literally has more commercials than anybody I know, except maybe Shaq. And Snoop is high all day long. And he stills get all the work done, stills grinding every single day. And yeah, Snoop, I mean, everybody loves Snoop. Everybody loves Snoop. And I've definitely heard enough on this one that bots, man, they've been around since MySpace, they've been around since Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But that's why I love TikTok the most, because what's the aspect of TikTok that's not being botted, you know? And that's the dance challenges and the challenges when actual real people go in there and duetting your challenges or duetting your videos and things. If people could bot on TikTok, but it's worthless, it ain't gonna do nothing. Like the people that are popping on TikTok is because they just posted content, 2 to 3 posts every day. You know, they're interacting. Going live is really good on TikTok. I seen a dude the other day, 2,000 followers went live and had at least 10,000 likes on the live. So that means a lot more viewers than 2,000 and whatnot. But botting is not going nowhere, even with Spotify's changes. You know, they say Spotify says they're cracking down on the botting is why they're doing it. And these little 30-second song clips that people uploaded. But it's not just that. It's also that Spotify hasn't made a single profit. You know, they're like the WNBA. They're not making a profit. So, excuse me, about to burp. If you cut out 2/3 of your royalty payouts, I mean, maybe you can make a profit. Who knows? Who knows? You cut out 2/3 of the royalties payouts, maybe you can make a profit. And they're about to do that anyways. And I don't think the bot is going to go nowhere. I think it'd get more desperate. Like if an artist has a 10-track album and they only get 900 plays and they're required for 1,000 plays within 365 days to meet the threshold to be monetized, and they feel like they can't get over that 1,000 plays on each song, well, they might go and just decide to buy, you know, 1,000 plays and spread over the album to get over that threshold. I don't think, you know, it's going to eliminate botting one bit. I think botting will just, even the brand man I was just reacting to, if you watch his channel, and definitely watch his channel, he got a lot of good stuff on there. They definitely say that, explain that there's a purpose of botting, you know, and that botting can work for some people, but it doesn't work for everybody. Just like when, what's my man that blew up on, Lil Nas X blew up on TikTok. Everybody think they could blow up on TikTok just the way he did it. No, you can't blow up the same way he did it, but you can possibly blow up on TikTok. You just might have to blow up a different way. You might have to do a different challenge or go with different influencers, things of that nature. The devil's in the details. If you're trying to do something that somebody else did, like you see somebody else blow up on something, you can't blow up the same way they blew up if the devil's not in the details. Same thing with 50 Cent on the mixtapes. Everybody thought they could blow up on mixtapes like 50 Cent. Well, they didn't realize 50 Cent was pushing about $50,000 worth of mixtapes every week or 2 weeks. You know, you can't just do what the next man does unless you know all the details, the doubles in the details. Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Paul Pinker Podcast. And botting is nothing new. It's I'm not surprised that Travis Scott's manager came out and said that he botted. I just think, like, why are you dry snitching? Why are you snitching on yourself? Why are you telling on yourself? Why are you fucking it up for Travis Scott now, making him look crazy? Like, you know, people gonna have it thinking like he got there with all fake plays, but you can't get to where Travis Scott is at and not have fan base. You can't be selling out lines at the door in McDonald's to go buy your shitty ass combo selection, because all the combo selections are shitty at McDonald's. You can't be having lines at the door to go buy a shitty ass combo at McDonald's unless you got fan base. So yeah, they might have manipulated number. And before I go, you know, labels been doing that forever. Labels buying albums to boost the record sales and give them away free. Labels been doing payola forever. You know, back in the days when they had to break the early black artists on radio, they gave them two options. You know, they'd send like mob guys and be like, yo, you either take this money to break the record. And I guess back then you could say it was more of a payola thing if you're going straight to the program director, or we'll break your leg, you know? Because I don't think they was going to, like, guys who actually work radio, like a T.C. Tompkins, or rest in peace to Ruben Rodriguez, who I've done promotion for and still do promotion for his sons right now. I don't think they were going to radio guys like them and saying, hey, take the money or break the legs. I think they were going to the program directors because it all – you know, the root cause of why they weren't playing black music on radio really lied with corporate radio and the program directors and things of that nature, you know, showing up prejudice and racism towards the black artists at the time. So they're bringing like Italian mob guys to give them an option. take the money, break the record, or we'll break your leg, you know. So the game has always been a dirty business. It's always been, I guess, the odds are against you is unfair. And I know they're trying to make it even more unfair with this new Spotify royalty changes and whatnot. But I don't think botting is going nowhere. I think people will adjust and change. I just think they need to be more wary and more careful of who they pay for promo and things of that nature. Because even in a bot world, you can't get greedy with it and just try to super bot it up. That's when cats really draw red flags. Because I seen a video where a guy was saying that Spotify only allows independent artists to get about 3,000 plays per song per day, unless you're on Spotify's playlist or using discovery ads or marquee campaigns or Spotify banner or audio ads. Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Paul Pinkett Podcast, and I'm out. I